You're listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. This is episode number 80, Statisticians Stepping Up, Leadership Success Stories, Part 2. In today's episode, I'm speaking with two members of the leadership program. One is coming from academia, and the other one is coming from a pharma organization. Both have very, very interesting and inspiring stories, success stories. And I really get a lot of inspiration and motivation from these type of stories. And I hope you do as well, get a lot of inspiration and some thoughts about how to do things differently, about what you can learn differently, and how you can improve your influence overall as a statistician. I get a lot of motivation from these examples from the different members of the program. I also get a lot of motivation from successes of team members in my day-to-day job or from mentees. So teaching is really, really great. And if you get the opportunity to teach, it's really something great. If you're a little bit more advanced in your career, consider to become a mentor. Anyway, so this is from the leadership program. And this program I want to tell you a little bit more about is specifically designed for statisticians, and it's designed to strengthen your impact as a statistician through helping you to develop your leadership skills. You can maximize everything that you do at work. It works for supervisors, but it also works for non-supervisors. And we have here two examples, one that more or less has direct reports and the other one don't. So the Effective Statistician Leadership Program is also not just an online course where you go in and then, you know, you have lots of videos and written content and stuff like that. No, it's actually quite interactive program. So the webinars are interactive. The moderated small group discussions, which are the biggest part of the program, are of course very, very interactive. And then we have in addition the podcast episodes on top. And we have a focus overall on pharmaceutical statistics, but of course lots of other statisticians will benefit as well. It is aimed at all levels of statisticians. However, I would say you would probably have most out of it if you have at least, let's say, 1 or 2 years of experience post-university. And we really think all statisticians are required to learn about leadership skills, because that's so fundamental of achieving success at work. If you have great ideas and you can't implement them because you can't convince people, well, what is this worth? You know, just good ideas is just not good enough. And as we say in the course, also being right is not good enough. You need to be able to convince people. And in this program, we give you lots of tools and tips on how to do that. We have only limited capacities, and the enrollment is now open up to the end of October. So check out the Effective Statistician homepage, and there you will find the course homepage and all the different things around it. You'll also get some help if you need to convince your supervisor to approve it, which is usually the case. And so just go to the Effective Statistician homepage, and there you will find all the different content. So This podcast, like usual, is created in association with PSI, a global member organization dedicated to leading and promoting best practice and industry initiatives. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the very, very good video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. There's a reduced rate available for just £20 for non-high income countries, and it's also just £95 for all the others. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Hello, this is another episode of The Effective Statistician, and today I'm talking with two guests from the Effective Statistician Leadership Program and how they took action to improve their leadership skills and what impact that had on their lives. So first, I'm talking with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing today?
Hello, Alexander. I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Very, very good. So, we are very, very close to the end of the leadership program now. And for this overall 6 months program, what did you find most helpful for you in there?
Yeah, so yeah, I think the time actually gone very, very fast. So I didn't even realize we are already coming to an end of it all. But yeah, I think the good thing about the program is that we actually got together with many statisticians from different organizations, from different background, as well as I think different areas of work as well. So I think what I really like about it is the content is good. It covers all the issues and problems that we have and what we face in our day-to-day work. And it's also good to know that other people are actually sharing these issues. So it's not really, you know, just a single issue, just apply to myself really. But it's actually everybody's having the same issue really. That I didn't really think about that before.
Yeah, I think that's a really good insight to have, that you're not alone in there. Mm-hmm. That you get help and encouragement from others to take action and move forward in terms of growing your leadership skills. So that's a very good insight. So in terms of that's probably one of the mindset shifts that you experience, that you're not alone in there. What are other mindset topics that you would think have changed for you?
Well, I think it is always when we go to this kind of courses and group discussions, you always want to think about what is it that is my weakest point. And I think we have really fleshed it out throughout the course itself, throughout the training, that I do need to learn better how to communicate with people, how to listen more to people, and probably take my time to actually understand the different perspective from the other side, which I think to me, what I really think when we communicate, it needs to be quick and to the point. But that's probably not always the best strategy, although we do save time sort of going back and forth about the discussions and the issues and so on. But I think taking time, actually slow down to listening more to people and understanding the perspective from the other side, that probably will help you save time even more in the long run.
So basically you have changed your approach, that you're not directly jumping to conclusions, but that you're now more listening, building relationships, deeper understanding of the problem, building trust with the other business partners, so
yes,
that you can leverage all these things in the long run, and therefore, you know, be more effective and more.
I think you also need a lot of training still from my side, because it's habit. Habit is very difficult to change. So it does actually need a lot of training, a lot of practice. So I'm trying to actually put myself in this sort of situations, and hopefully I will be able to pick up all the good habits and everything that I learn and implement them in practice in my professional life.
Yeah, that's actually what kind of, as we are now in the last week of the program, that's the big kind of things that we are now working on how you can turn what you have learned over the last 6 months really into a habit, so that you stay on track in terms of being a student of leadership, and you're continuing to grow in that regard. So it's great that you really made a decision to change your habits in that regard and continuously grow in that regard. That's really, really right. Great. So,
I learned something.
Well, it would be a pity if you haven't learned something in 6 months.
Yeah, definitely. So it is good, actually. Yeah. So I think it's always good to keep the conversation going, especially, and sort of keep exchanging the views and perspective with all the other participants as well. Even after the program finished.
Yeah, that is, I think, one of the nice things, as we have these small group discussions, which we call mastermind discussions, in every other week, you have a community where everybody helps each other, and you can leverage this community beyond the program. So that's a nice thing. And everybody has now, you know, the same background, so you can help each other. You have the same, you know, language that you can talk with each other. And you also know each other already because, well, you've seen each other over all these Zoom meetings that we had. So that was actually one of the things that I liked very much in the program, the personal interaction in these meetings.
Yes, yeah, I very much enjoyed it, to sort of like being able to see everyone on the videos and stuff like that actually helps.
Yeah, especially as it's a completely virtual training, and so we don't have any face-to-face component in it, and at least we have a video-to-video component into it. So
yes. Yep. Well, we did manage to meet at the last PSI in London face to face, so that's also a good opportunity.
Yeah. That was really nice. So not everybody could attend, but we had a couple of people that were attending the conference meeting really face to face and enjoying the conference together. That was really, really nice. So, is there anything else that you're now doing differently due to the program?
I think I probably think of other people more, and I do try to increase my sort of collaborativeness with other people. Try to listen more and actually understand what they really want and what they need from us, and what we also need from them. So I think it's more having an active listening and probably asking more questions. And I hope I'm asking more of the right questions as well.
In terms of the active listening, that what I think was a really, really nice episode during the program. How did you feel when you practiced this active listening? How does that feel for you?
Well, I think it's a little bit awkward at points, because sometimes you don't tend to listen in a way how you know you usually listen to. You also engage in their sort of the how they actually move the gesture and everything else as well around that. So it's just not about what they actually say, it's also what they do, and it's also outside of the conversation itself. You also look at how they actually conduct themselves and how they actually people actually follow up around certain things and so on. So I think it's more about engaging everything external to the current conversation when you practice your active listening as well. So you want to be able to put together everything else surrounding it into within the same context.
So you get much more out of these one-to-one interactions where you practice this active listening. I can understand that this kind of feels uncomfortable at first and it takes a little bit of courage. And it's awesome that you took this courage and tried something new actually see how you can build a better connection with the other.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, because I think it's also it's not really problematic, but there is a downside not being a native English speaker as well. So some people tend to use different phrases that you don't recognize, or construct their arguments or the sentences somewhat differently. So it's not really just talking to English speaker. If you talk to other people from a different culture, different background, the way things are actually constructed can be a little bit different. So I think now I'm actually asking probably more and more for people to actually clarify what they actually meant by certain things that I'm not entirely sure about. Because sometimes I think in the past I tend to assume what people say, this is what they mean. But I think now actually asking to clarify or rephrase even, or even actually explaining what this is, what you understand about what they are saying about, then that helps as well.
Yes, I think the paraphrasing is also a really, really nice technique of this active listening. That's really nice to see how you take action and implement these kind of things and how it helps you to better connect with people, because I think the connection is really the foundation to establish a good relationship, to establish trust. And these are then the foundations to be able to work together effectively and basically, lead other people in terms of having the right design choices, having, the right stories from the data, all these kind of different things that where we are good at from a functional perspective.
Yeah, I also think that it's also good to actually reflect on the discussions, not just say something and there's stop talking about it, but actually reflect what you actually said and how did actually heard by the other people or understood by the other people as well, even if they did not actually say anything about it. I don't know whether we actually need to actually go back and rediscuss certain things or open up or ask about what they thought about what you said or something else. But I think it's good at some point to have a reflection of meeting, sort of replay what you did or what you did say, what you did, wrote down and so on. So that can also be quite helpful.
Yeah, it's a never-ending process, these improving your skills in that regard. And that's why, we talk about this. Being a student of leadership is so important because still, for example, Gary, who has worked on that for decades, still learns a lot of new things every day. And
Yeah, no, I think it's because we interact with different people all the times, and leadership and communication are actually something to do with the behavioral aspects of it. So you cannot just like apply one principle or do one thing and it will work with everyone forever. So things do change, and needs do change, and so on. So I think it will, of course, definitely be a lifelong learning experience. Yeah.
But the good thing is, yeah, now you have a framework for all these different things. You have, you know, the different pieces that help you to be effective on leadership, and now you can refine each of these things. And that is also something that we, you know, just recently talked about. You know, pick one thing and move forward from there, and yeah, create accountability partners.
Yes. Yeah. I like that very much. Actually, it's actually to identify what our own leadership principles and what do we really want to build on, what kind of leaders we want to be. So I think that's a very good aim. I probably still cannot say for sure which of this I actually want up to do, but I think it doesn't have to be just one or two that you pick now. If we can start with one and then change them later on as well. So I think also in the beginning, what we also talk about during the training was that who are the leaders that you inspire to be, and sort of think about what they would do, how they actually do them, and how do they conduct themselves, and so on. And you can actually learn from that as well. So I think that's another thing that I'm still practicing. You probably don't need to pick just one person. You can pick, you know, different characteristics of different persons that you actually want to adopt.
Do you have a specific leader in mind that you are learning from? Someone within, you know, the stats community, or maybe outside of the stats community?
It's I can't say it's only one. I think it has to be a different mix, because you probably want the communication side of someone. You want the sort of like the knowledge of someone. You want the diplomatic aspects of from someone else. So it's just a broad range of people that I try to engage more and look more at what they do or what they did before, how they speak, how they conduct themselves, and so on, and see which of these do I want to be. It's more, I don't know, it seems more like an acting, but I think in the beginning you probably will be acting in some way, but over the years then I'm sure that you will be able to actually make them their sort of your own.
Yeah. It's whenever you do something different, it feels a little bit awkward at the beginning. And so yes, that, you know, maybe it feels like acting, but you're just, you know, changing how you're communicating, you're changing how you want to more intentionally build relationships, these kind of things. If you're very kind of factual, logical thinker like most of the statisticians, and that just feels a little bit awkward at the beginning, and but it's great that you're investing in that. Awesome, thanks so much for the for this short interview, and we're for sure keeping in touch beyond the leadership program, because it's quite amazing to see how the trajectories of all the different people change. And it's makes me really, really happy that there's so many good examples coming out. So thanks so much for the discussion.
No, thank you. Thank you for the training, and taking us through this journey over this past few months. I think it was a great experience. It has been a very good experience. People actually very engaged and contributing and open as well. So I think that's the good part. It's like also being honest about what they actually feel and where they want to go and what do they think of other people and so on. So yeah, it's really has been a very good experience. Thank you for that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And now I'm talking with Anya. Anya is actually one of our students in the leadership program that is working not at a pharma company or a CRO, but in the academic setting. So, Anya, how does your usual work day look at the university?
I would say the days are very different. So I have a lot of projects I'm working on, very different ones with clinicians from the university hospital, but also some internal methodological projects and some projects with external clinicians from outside Heidelberg. And I'm also head of a working group at our institute. So I'm responsible for some colleagues and have to do a lot of organizational stuff. And we do some teaching at the university as well and statistical consulting. So my days are very different and one of my challenges is the time management as it's not so easy to know in advance what a day will bring, to say it like this.
So you have lots of different partners that that you're working with, and I think that is maybe a little bit different to certain settings, for example, in pharma organizations where you maybe have just a limited number of studies and with that a very limited number of stakeholders. So very, very good. So in terms of the leadership program, what did you find most helpful for yourself?
I'd say, so the program lasted about 6 months with regular meetings and homework, and for me, the structure was perfect. So I was forced in a positive way to stay on track and follow up on the different topics. So we talked about different concepts and skills, but not only talked about this, but also translated this into practice. So within assignments we were given, and there were assignments almost every week or every second week, and the homework was very diverse. So some easy to do at home, like watching movie scenes with a specific focus on leadership behavior, and other assignments directly related to situations at work. I found this very helpful, and I remember 1 week we talked about influence and influencing others. And after our webinar, I had a meeting with the study team of a clinical trial that we are planning here at the university hospital. And it was the first time that I met the team and especially the head of the clinicians. So the weeks before, the communication was very difficult, and I didn't expect a lot from this meeting. And to be honest, I wasn't very in for this project and was unhappy with the communication and collaboration so far. But the head of the clinicians surprised me. I was surprised by his way to moderate the meeting, his way to talk and listen in a very active way. And so that I went out of the room with the feeling, what a cool project, let's do this. And to reflect on such situations helps me a lot, as I'm often in situations where I would say communication is the key to progress. And it's like learning from observing others. And we practiced this during the program. And on the other side, I I found the insights into the situation of other statisticians and the exchange very interesting. So there were some very interesting and helpful recommendations for books and movies and audiobooks, podcasts and tools in general. So from the coaches and the other participants. So that helped me to build routines to develop my skills and reflect on relevant topics. And not only in the time I spend at work, but also at home or when I'm on the way through listening to audiobooks, for example. So I would say this helped me a lot.
So coming back to this situation with the study team where you were quite unmotivated at the beginning going into the meeting. So you basically had a reflection not only on the content of the meeting, but also you had a reflection on the leadership style of the head of the physicians.
Yes, exactly. On the way, he tried to reach his goals. I wouldn't say that he tried to manipulate me, but he wanted me to do work also which I'm not primarily responsible for. And he did mm-hmm. this in a very good way, I would say.
What did it specifically that helped you to become motivated?
He was very present and focused. And so before the meeting, it was difficult to get response to questions from him. But within the meeting, he was absolutely present and he showed trust in me and also trust in the other partners, and he communicated this very often. So he gave us a good feeling and tried to explain why this project is so important.
Mm-hmm. So he set the bigger scene and gave you kind of what we call in the programs as a pathos in terms of the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So that is actually one of the things that we speak a lot about in the program, and it's awesome that you reflect on others being great leaders and identifying what they are exactly doing so that you can use it for yourself. I think that is that's really awesome, because through that you can learn very, very fast, and I think that is also something that the listeners of this podcast can do quite nicely. You know, as a listener, you can just see what are good leaders and what are they doing specifically to become a great leader. And in the program, we basically give you a structure in on how to do that and what are the different aspects to look into. And you just mentioned this being present, having the focus, building trust, setting the bigger picture. These kind of things are all things that we discussed in the program. So that's very good. In terms of the other ways how you learn about leadership, you mentioned that it helped you a lot that to see the other statisticians in the program, because just for statisticians, is there anything particular that you remembered where you saw, well, I had a similar situation, or that exactly also applies to my world? Something that's, you know, either Gary or myself mentioned, or something that one of the other course participants mentioned?
Yes, there were some situations. So Gary mentioned that there was a time he had, I would say, worked on a lot of projects, maybe too many projects. And that's a situation I'm in quite often. So in the past, I would say I said yes to every project and trying to work as as much as possible, but I realized that this is not very helpful, not only for myself, but also not for the institute, and that I should more focus on which projects are of relevance to the institute and prioritize them for me and my working group. So I spend a lot of time and resources working on projects not as relevant as other projects. So that's something I'm trying to change in the future, and to be more focused on what are projects the institute can
what's really changing the needle and
yes,
what's really
exactly,
kind of
exactly.
Important for the institute. So that's kind of corresponds to the part where we talk about the business acumen in the program, because that helps you to better understand what is important and what's not important. So did you apply these techniques to find out better what projects are more important?
Yes, exactly. So to be honest, at the beginning, I was not sure whether this program is right for me, as I work in academia, as you said, but I realized that I can identify with all the topics and also business acumen. So I talked a lot with my boss about politics within the university hospital and what's going on the campus. So this is something what drives decisions we are making here in our institute, and that's really important for my work. And this helps me in making decisions and making good decisions.
Awesome. So that's really good to hear that you followed up on the suggestions from the program and actually implemented it. And I'm pretty sure that helped a lot also with working together with your supervisor and having better relationships there. Yeah. Okay. Very good. So in terms of your kind of day-to-day work, do you think you're doing things differently now than before the program?
Absolutely. I would say I changed a lot. I'm trying to change a lot. Like I just said, I focus more on which projects I should work on and which are maybe not of that relevance to me or to the institute. And I invest more time in the preparation of meetings. So not every meeting, but meetings that could be problematic in some way, or meetings where I know that I have to convince someone.
How do you do that? What do you do specifically for these meeting preparations?
To think more about how I can convince someone. And so, for example, I had one situation. It was also during the program and very interesting, since the meeting was with two younger colleagues of mine, so both statisticians and a clinician. And we are planning a clinical trial together, an investigator-initiated trial, and we wanted to discuss with him some statistical details, but also I wanted to explain him the estimates framework and convince him about defining the research question and writing the protocol accordingly. And I knew that this would be hard work, since the two or three meetings we had before, he ignored me. He introduced himself as clinician with about 10 Lancet publications. And, and I guess in his eyes, I was just a young woman sitting at the table to learn from the others. And he didn't notice me and did not shake my hand. So for the upcoming event, I made sure that I was prepared as good as possible. and that there was a relaxed atmosphere. So we started with making a joke. And at the end, he agreed with us and gave us free hands. So this was a very positive end for this meeting. So I think more about my arguments and I try to take also more time to listen and comprehend the other side and not to rush a conversation forward too fast into my direction, I would say.
Awesome. That's really a great story. Because working with such a, let's say, challenging colleague is, I think, sometimes that drives a lot of frustration. And I've been in lots of situations where I was quite unhappy about the outcomes because I was pressing too hard on the content side. Mm-hmm. But you really took care and worked not only on the content and just speaking about estimates, but practicing active listening and understanding really the needs of the other person, where it's coming from, and working on the atmosphere and the relationship with the other person. And it's really great that it worked out that way. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really nice story.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I said, we spoke about trust and how relevant this is and how it influences meetings and teamwork. And I would say my awareness regarding trust changed. So I realized why collaborations are difficult or why there's no progress, no teamwork, and that trust can be a reason for that. And I learned that it can be helpful also to invest time in building trust.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really awesome, because now you understand why things are not working. And if you understand why things are not working and you have now also the tools in terms of how to make them work, it's a much better feeling at work and it's much more motivating. And you can avoid these kind of really frustrating situations, or at least minimize them.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for this really, really nice interview. I wish you all the best with your continued learning on leadership. And it's great that you found so much inspiration through the program. It's really great. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
The show was created in association with PSI, and thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background. And thank you for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes and learn more about our podcast, and especially also about the leadership program, the webinars that we have. If you want to learn more about the leadership program and you're thinking of enrolling in it, but you're not quite sure, just send me an email. That would be awesome. So just send an email at alexander@theeffectivestatistician.com and I'll get back to you on that one. So, as always, reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.